All right, and welcome back to another edition of the Locked On College Football Podcast. I am your host, Jordan Reed, alongside my terrific and always consistent co-host, Jonah Tulls. Jonah, we just seen the NFL version of the Malice at the Palace. In a sense, we are recording live after the brawl between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Cleveland Browns. Myles Garrett just completely lost his mind and swung a helmet at Mason Rudolph, and I just showed Jonah, or I just filled him in on exactly what happened. He just saw the video, and man, it is really disgusting what went on out there.
Oh my goodness. Dude, he's got to be done for the season. And I know we're recording this before, you know, the NFL might come, if you're listening to this podcast, we don't know if the NFL's already made an announcement on this, but we're recording this right after the game, and this is unbelievable. This is legit Ron Artest, Steven Jackson all over you. Malice at the Palace. I mean, he swung his helmet straight. And we talk about this. Mason Rudolph's coming off a scary concussion. He hit him right on the top of the head, smack dab, man. And then it just ensued into chaos. You had Ogunjobi in there. You had Marquise Pouncey coming flying. Man, this is honestly a terrible look for the NFL and a terrible look for Myles Garrett. This was a black mark. This is truly a black mark on the season. I think we're going to see record fines, and I think we're going to see Myles Garrett suspended for the rest of the year.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me at all, just because of the severity of what could have happened. And yes, he still hit Mason Rudolph with the helmet, but it could have been much worse than what ended up happening with it. So it's really unfortunate to see that, just because Myles Garrett was having a Defensive Player of the Year type of season, and we'll see exactly what type of suspension that he does get or how long it does end up being, but I'm sure he's going to be fined a record amount. It's just disgusting to see that type of act, and it's just unacceptable. And there was 8 seconds left in the game. That's just what makes it so bad about the entire situation. The game was pretty much almost over, but now we just come to the situation. It really ruins a night where the Browns were supposed to celebrate a victory. But now you're going to talk about Myles Garrett, Mason Rudolph, and exactly what happened with that situation. But just getting back on the topic of college football, it is game preview day. This is what we do on Friday, just to give y'all overall thoughts going into the weekend of matchups. This is really a good week of matchups, I should say, during this weekend of game action. The games that we are going to cover in the first segment, we'll cover Wake Forest against Clemson and Georgia against Auburn. And then in the second segment, we'll come back with a preview of Minnesota against Iowa and also Oklahoma against Baylor. So jumping right into it with this Wake Forest and Clemson matchup, it kind of lost a little bit of its luster, especially with Dave Clawson announcing that Sage Surratt was going to be done for the season after having an injury that he ended up having to get surgery on this week. And I was really looking forward to seeing him match up against this Clemson defense, just because there's a lot of notable names. A.J. Terrell, I was really looking forward to that matchup against him, and even Isaiah Simmons being up against him during some times and some reps as well. So this game has lost a little bit of its luster, but I still think it could be intriguing. And Jamie Newman, that's a name that really is surging up draft boards. The junior quarterback for the Wake Forest Demon Deacons, he's having a really good year, still leads the ACC in total offense, and he's having a really good year for the most part. But are there any other intriguing matchups in this Wake Forest and Clemson game, or some other names that you have an eye on in this game?
Yeah, and it's a couple of Senior Bowl guys, right? I mean, you know, Tremaine Ankrum was the guy who he got invited to the Senior Bowl last week, and you know, I like to see him go against Carlos Basham from Wake Forest. And Carlos Basham is a guy that, you know, 6'5", 275, the physical profile, what you want in three down, strong side defensive end, and even front. This guy has a lot of traits, and this guy made my top 60 of my November update big board. And I really can't wait to see him go against Ankrum, who is a guy who's kind of a little bit of an unknown. He plays at a big school, but he's kind of gotten his opportunity this year. I really want to see him at the Senior Bowl, but this would be his first real big test of the year, and I'd like to see them go one-on-one. Other guys, like we said, Sage Surratt, him going down to injury is such a bummer, because we would have seen him go against A.J. Terrell, and that would have been a great test for both guys, because A.J. Terrell has the length to really match up well with Surratt at the catch point. And it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how Wake Forest kind of attacks that Clemson secondary now, because that Clemson secondary can be had. And A.J. Terrell is kind of a, you know, kind of like that boom bust kind of guy who, you know, try to make too many plays. He feels like he has to make a play, and he can get beat on double moves. And I want to see if Jamie Newman can kind of attack that without Sage Surratt. And even though Wake Forest won't have Surratt, I think Jamie Newman will still have a nice game in this one. I think this is a big test for him and his draft stock if he decides to declare, because if he puts up a good performance against his Clemson defense, that'll go a long way for scouts when they look back at this tape next spring.
I'm right there with you. And I think we cannot disrespect the matchup on the flip side of it with Wake Forest, or I should say Clemson's targets against these Wake Forest corners. I know we talked about Amari Henderson in depth a couple shows ago, and also Asang Bassey, a guy that we're a fan of, matched up against T. Higgins and also Justin Ross as well. So that definitely is another few matchups that we definitely cannot gloss over, I should say. So Amari Henderson, keep an eye on that name. He had a couple interceptions, I should say, a few weeks back. And that's really what has his name really surging up draft boards in a sense, even though Asang Bassey is the one guy that gets the most notoriety. But Amari Henderson really is starting to surge here late. And he has some of those traits that you look for as far as a long and lanky corner. He can run, and he has ball skills for days. I love how he's able to find the ball in flight when he's really exiting phase and running down the field alongside these receivers. So keep an eye on Amari Henderson. He's a name that definitely could really help his resume a bunch if he is able to show really well against T. Higgins and also Justin Ross in this game. But do you have any other opinions on these Wake Forest defensive backs? I know you've watched both of them.
Yeah, they're two different guys, man. Amari Henderson and Asang Bassey, both guys I hope to see at the Senior Bowl, and you know, regarding injuries and guys who drop out and whatnot. But Henderson is a guy that's 6'2", you know, 190 kind of guy, long, lean, good ball skills. I mean, this guy plays and competes at the catch point, physical dude, the line of scrimmage, press guy. He has some good linear speed. You wonder about the change of direction, him kind of, you know, stop and start. Reminds me a little bit of Isaiah Johnson in that regard coming out last year. I think Henderson is a little more polished in the line of scrimmage than Johnson was last year, but they had that same kind of limitation in terms of changing direction and moving laterally. Asang Bassey is the total opposite. Asang Bassey is excellent with change of direction. About 5'10", 190 pounds. Guy is really low to the ground, reduces surface area real quickly with his foot quickness. You get very little separation with him on those short to intermediate routes because he has such good foot quickness and hip fluidity, and man covers really stop and start and stay in transition with the wide receiver. But the problem with him is that, you know, he can get boxed out the catch point and kind of out-muscled by these bigger receivers. So I really hope to see Asang Bassey at the Senior Bowl this year, because we'll get to see him go up against these big wide receivers like Colin Johnson, Brian Edwards, and these guys. So we can really see if those limitations will, you know, truly bother him. But I think Bassey's more of an NFL nickel, where I see Amari Henderson as a guy who can play that cover three outside zone for a team that really values that length on the outside. So two different guys, but two equally intriguing prospects.
The Seahawks are going to love Amari Henderson. That's one team I definitely have circled as a fit for him, just because he's everything that they love in their corners. He's long, of course, and he's really more of a cover three type of corner as opposed to a man-to-man corner. And there's nothing wrong with that, just because there are certain schemes that really like those types of guys as opposed to ones that can get in your face, play press, and really be sticky in a sense. And some other guys they like for the Seattle Seahawks is that they like to keep their back to the sideline and their eyes on the quarterback while they're entering their back pedal. So keep an eye on Amari Henderson. But before we move on to our next game, I want to remind our crowd about Manscaped. Manscaped is number one in men's below the belt grooming. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code Locked On at manscaped.com. Again, that's the code Locked On. That's LOCKEDON at manscaped.com. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code Locked On. So the next game that I want to get into is Georgia against Auburn, an SEC showdown. And Auburn, or I should say Georgia, is the number four ranked team in the latest college football playoff rankings. That came as a bit of a surprise to a lot of people. And as long as Georgia wins out, including the SEC championship game, if they're able to get there, they're going to hold down at least, or at worst, I should say, that number four spot in the college football playoff rankings. And this is a huge opportunity for them, just because I think this is another resume game for them to prove to the committee that they are a top team, even though Auburn isn't a team that isn't in that top 10, I should say, but they are a very well-respected team throughout the country. So with this game, there are plenty of intriguing matchups in this game, but of course it's going to be in the trenches with Andrew Thomas and that Georgia offensive line going against the very talented Auburn defensive line led by Derrick Brown. There's going to be a lot of intriguing matchups, and that's going to be a bloodbath, man. You talk about two big body guys. Now, Andrew Thomas and Derrick Brown aren't going to be going against each other just because they align in different spots, but there are a lot of other intriguing matchups in this game. But who are some other prospects you have your eye on in this game?
Man, I'm looking at the two top tackles. I mean, you're looking at Andrew Thomas and Prince Tega Wanogho, and Andrew Thomas, you know, I think most people expect him to be a top 10 pick. Just very solid across the board. In the last episode, you compared him to DeBrickashaw Ferguson, who's just, you know, a rock-solid, consistent starter throughout his career in the NFL. I think that's just a great comparison. I mean, Andrew Thomas is kind of that player, and I think he will be a top 10 pick to a team like Washington or Cleveland, you know, when we get to next spring. But, you know, Prince Tega Wanogho is the kind of guy that kind of – he doesn't get the kind of hype Thomas or Wirf gets. And he's not even talked about in the first round of many mock drafts, but – I think he could be this year's Andre Dillard. When you look at the Senior Bowl and guy who can really rise, he's a good athlete, nimble on his feet, good in his pass sets, has decent strength. This guy really has all the traits you look for in a starting tackle at the next level. It's just being consistent with his technique and kind of getting that down. You know, he has almost shades of Brian O'Neill coming out of Pittsburgh, to where you see the athleticism pop, but the technique is just all over the place, and you're trying to see if you can own that in. So the Senior Bowl will be big for him. But again, a big matchup against Georgia. You have talented edge rushers on that Georgia team. Not all of them are draft eligible, but that guy's, I'll give him tests. So I really want to see Wanogho, you know, really assert himself in this game and kind of say, hey, you know, I'm in that same range too. I'm a first round kind of guy. And I think he has a chance to do that at the Senior Bowl, but I think this game against Auburn is one of his first big tests as well.
And this may be kind of bold, but have you watched the tackle on the other side of Prince Tega Wanogho and Jack Driscoll?
Yes, he is very good as well. Yes. I have him in my top 70 on my big. I think he's somewhere in the 60s. Very good player. I think he offers also inside value as well, versatility, inside out versatility. I'm a big fan of Jack Driscoll. He's just solid, and I really don't see a major flaw to his game. I think he's just solid and consistent across the board. Like I said, I think he offers you inside-out versatility. I think he's a slam-dunk day two pick.
I 110% agree with you. And he was a pleasant surprise, I would say, just because when I was studying Prince Tega Wanogho this summer, he really caught my eye. And that says a lot, especially if you're going into an evaluation looking at one guy and then another person jumps off the screen. That very rarely happens with me, but he hardly ever gives up pressure. And that speaks volumes to an offensive tackle, just because, especially being in the SEC with some of the best rushers that he's going against weekly. And the best thing about him is that he did transfer from UMass, and there's a precipitous drop off as far as the competition that he was facing there. But he really did not seem phased at all entering the SEC. And that's very rare to see, especially a player that is coming from that level of football into the best conference in the country. And he has made a seamless transition. So Jack Driscoll is another name to keep an eye on in this matchup, especially going against the young and talented Georgia rushers. But before we move on to our next segment, debating Minnesota and Iowa and also previewing Oklahoma and Baylor, here's a quick word from our sponsors. So we are back with our next game. The team you have labeled as the 2020 national champions already. That was your bold prediction on the last show. We are going to preview the Minnesota Golden Gophers and the Iowa Hawkeyes. You're 2020 national champion. I still can't believe you actually have that on record, but that is your bold prediction for the year. But the Golden Gophers are on fire right now. I believe they're number 8 in the college football playoff rankings right now, and that is debatable. A lot of people were saying that.
Which is a sham, by the way.
Yes, it is. I agree. They should be 6. They should be at worst. They should be number 6, but that is a debate for another day. We're going to preview Minnesota and Iowa right now, and this is going to be an intriguing game just because Minnesota has some really good players in spots. We talked about them on our last show, Tyler Johnson, Carter Coughlin, Kamal Martin, and also Antoine Winfield Jr., and some other names as well. With Iowa, they have plenty of intriguing names as well. Nate Stanley, of course, is one that will jump out first. And the one that is the headliner name, of course, is Tristan Wirfs. And there's some others as well. Larrick Jackson and some other names on that Iowa defense. A.J. Epinesa, of course, is another one that everybody's going to be keeping a keen eye on as well. So who are some matchups or some prospects in this game that you will have a very close eye on?
Man, you know me and my Golden Ghosts, dude. Go bold or go home. I love this team. I think this team is just so well-rounded. I was, you know, partially joking when I said they win the national championship. But this team could, you know, give Ohio State some trouble just because of how well-rounded they are on defense. All joking aside, this game against Iowa, you know, Tyler Johnson, Rashad Bateman are two of the top receivers in the country. Rashad Bateman might be the top receiver in next year's draft. And yet Tyler Johnson, who is arguably the top senior receiver in this year's draft. So Iowa's defense backs will have a lot of, you know, problems guarding these two guys. But one guy I really want to watch for Iowa that no one has talked about this draft is the senior cornerback, Michael Ojemudia. And it's a really hard name to pronounce, but this guy is a senior corner, about 6'2", 200 pounds, has the length to really bother these guys at the catch point, at the line of scrimmage. He's done it most of the year. He had 3 interceptions last year. He's already put up some interceptions this year as well. Ball production is excellent. He has, like I said, the length. He has the ball skills. And he has the really play strength to really challenge guys all over the field. It's just a matter of him being able to stay in phase and man coverage with these guys in routes. And I wonder if, you know, the big question I think with him, with Ojemudia, is speed. And if Bateman or Johnson can get over the top on him, that's going to be really interesting to watch because, you know, he really hasn't been tested by, you know, deep speed much this year. And I want to see if Bateman or Johnson can really test him there and if Tanner Morgan can really hit him on a strike. And that could be one of the big differences in the game. If Ojemudia is able to, you know, hold his own against these two receivers, Iowa can probably keep it a little close. Because Iowa's one of those teams that's grinded out football. They don't really give Nate Stanley the, you know, the reins to really pull the trigger often. And it can be a little frustrating because Nate Stanley does have traits you look for. And then, you know, this big arm quarterback, but, you know, they really kind of reel it in and say, hey, we're going to try to grind it out. And so this game might be low scoring if Ojemudia is able to hold his own against Johnson and Bateman, because, you know, Iowa's going to try to slow this down on offense. So that's definitely the matchup I want to watch in terms of, you know, senior guys, Johnson versus Ojemudia. Because Ojemudia, I don't know if he's going to be at the Senior Bowl, but he may be more of a Shrine Game guy. You know, we don't talk most about these Shrine Game guys, but Ojemudia has traits, and this is definitely his biggest test of the year. And this will be a tape if he holds his own. This will be a tape that scouts look back to next spring and say, hey, we might want to give this guy a shot on day 3.
That definitely is a new name for me. So I just wrote his name down, looked up the roster, and I'm definitely going to give him a peek just because I'm going to have a very close eye on this game just because there aren't a lot of great individual matchups as far as prospect against prospect, but there are some guys that you want to highlight and just check out to see how they're performing in this type of game. And Alaric Jackson, of course, is one guy that I want to see how he does in this game just because I thought he's underwhelmed a lot this year, but he showed some really intriguing traits prior to this year, and I just don't think he's been healthy for the most part. Of course, Tristan Wirfs, opposite of him at that right tackle spot, I want to see how he holds up against some of these edge rushers. From your national championship prediction, Golden Gophers, I'm never going to let you live that down. I'm going to be saying that for the rest of the year, just to give you a heads up.
But listen, I will own it. The Minnesota is my adopted team. You know as well as I do. Blake Cashman was my guy last year. I'm a Golden Gopher for life. This is my adopted team. I'm telling you, from Blake Cashman to Kamal Martin to Tyler Johnson to Antoine Winfield, Team Minnesota, go Gophers.
I did want to ask you this, though. Is it fair to say, and we talk about Alabama's receivers all the time, but as far as a 1-2 punch, is it fair to say that Rashad Bateman and Tyler Johnson are the best 1-2 punch in the country?
I think so. I think it's fair to say, especially how they're playing this year. Like, consistently every game. I mean, Big Ten has some good players, good corners, too. And so it's not like they're playing against scrub teams like Big 12 competition. I mean, these two guys are playing against tough guys each week, and they're putting up 100-yard games, you know, as a duo. And so I think it's fair to say that they're on Alabama's level for sure.
I agree. I just wanted to see if we were going to differentiate on that topic of discussion. But once again, Minnesota, Iowa, there's so many intriguing individual prospects in this game that we will have a very close eye on. But moving on to our next game, Oklahoma and Baylor, once again, a game with a bunch of individual prospects, maybe not head-to-head matchups, but I'll be keeping an eye on each team's top wide receiver in Oklahoma with CeeDee Lamb and with Baylor, Denzel Mims, a player that's really been on fire. And I know you've been a big fan of Mims in years past. You've highlighted some of the accomplishments that he has made. His track speed really shows up actually on the turf, but he's not just a speed demon. He's a guy that is fantastic in the red zone. I think he has 20 plus red zone touchdowns over his career. And he just seems like a guy that really hasn't gotten a lot of love that he deserves. And this Baylor offense, or this Baylor team in general, really is catching fire right now. They still are undefeated. So after escaping a near loss last week against TCU, I believe it was. I think that's who they played. I think that's off the top of my mind, so don't quote me on that. But I know it was a game that ended up going to overtime. So they squeaked out the victory there, but it's going to be a tougher matchup against Oklahoma this week. They're playing a much better team than what they faced last week. So Denzel Mims, let's talk about him for a second and just get your overall thoughts on him.
Yeah, Denzel Mims, a guy who really, you know, he just looks the part. He passes the eye test. A guy who has the prototypical size, length, and kind of speed you look for in an outside wide receiver. You know, and this guy is a baller at the catch point too. Excellent red zone threat. I think one of the best players at the catch point in this entire draft class. I think that what you want to see more from Denzel Mims is, you know, more of the finesse and nuance part of his game, whether it's at the line of scrimmage, getting off, you know, with his release, or, you know, winning and getting separation in the route, because he has the physical tools and the athletic traits to get it done, but you just don't see it from a consistency standpoint. And you see him, he's so talented, but, you know, for long stretches of games, he just goes kind of invisible, and you're wondering, like, you know, if you're so talented, why aren't you putting it more consistently on the field? So Denzel Mims is a guy who has a lot of talent, but he needs to start manifesting it more on the field, and you're starting to wonder what's the disconnect there. So I'm going to have to go back to the tape and kind of check that out. But, you know, in terms of Oklahoma guy I want to watch is Kenneth Murray, because Kenneth Murray really, you know, start of the season, he was, I think, playing like the best linebacker in the country. But over the last couple of games, you know, specifically against Kansas State and Iowa State, we really haven't seen that same player. We've seen the kind of 2018 Kenneth Murray kind of show up. And the 2018 Kenneth Murray is, you know, great athlete, but, you know, plays more with his athletic traits than his instincts. And I think that's really, you know, it's kind of hurt him the last couple of games. I think he's made some, you know, mistakes in terms of processing, kind of more of the guessing and, you know, anticipating more so than, you know, playing with instincts and relying on his reads. So this is going to be really interesting to see how Kenneth Murray bounces back, because this is the biggest game of the year for Oklahoma. Kenneth Murray needs a bounce back game here if he wants to really rekindle that first round momentum of his draft stock.
And I agree. And I'm a fan of Kenneth Murray and what he has shown this year. And he's been a bit inconsistent the past few games, like you did mention, as far as the reading his keys, processing, and triggering downhill. I think that's always been really a deficiency of him so far in spots this year. And we've seen it the past few weeks from him while he was at Oklahoma in the middle of that defense. And it's just amazing the development that he has shown this year in that new system. Absolutely. And Alex Grinch and how he's come over and really transformed some of the players in this defense. And it's not just Murray. You have Neville Gallimore, who has really taken that next step up as well. So it's not just Murray that we will have an eye on. Neville Gallimore is another name that we definitely will have an eye on as well. And let's talk about him for a second. Neville Gallimore, just because I want to spend some time on him, another guy that's really accepted his Senior Bowl invitation that we did not get to earlier on in the week. And I really love what he has shown this year, just because earlier on in his career, I thought he just was really a run stuffer, and he really didn't show a bunch of explosive traits. He really didn't have the numbers to back it up that he could be a pocket pusher in a sense and generate some of those pressures. But now you're seeing him affect the game on all three downs. So I just want to get your initial thoughts on Neville Gallimore.
Yeah, and when you look at Oklahoma, how they use their defensive linemen, some of that frog stance, I mean, a lot of these defensive linemen don't get to show their true pass rush potential. I think their every down potential to the next level. We saw something with kind of like guys like Charles Tapper coming out a couple of years ago. I mean, Neville Gallimore is a guy who has a ton of athleticism. I think he was either number two or number three on Bruce Feldman's freaks list, I think 2 years in a row, actually. This guy runs like a 4.8 40 at 330 pounds. And this guy's going to be something. This guy's going to break records for his weight at what he's going to do at the combine. I mean, he's unbelievable athlete. And like you said, he's really been asked to be that two-gap kind of run plugger most of his career at Oklahoma. But now this year, we're starting to see, you know, that defense kind of let him unleash a little bit, the pass rusher, and kind of go up after the quarterback. And we're starting to see that, you know, reflected in his draft stock now, kind of rising that first-round conversation as a result. So I think a lot of people thought, he's just limited. He's just kind of one-dimensional. But I think that was more so what Oklahoma was just using him as, more so than what, you know, his talent kind of portrays. And that his talent really portrays a guy who's a three-down player who can offer you both run defense and pass rush value.
Absolutely. And I'm really interested. I think this is the biggest matchup of the weekend that I will be paying attention to, just because – and I don't want to take anything away from the other matchups around the nation, but I just love high-powered offenses. I'll take a 49-50 score game over a 6-3 game any day. That's just how I am, being a former quarterback. I just love seeing teams light up the turf, even if there is minimal defense being played. So – call me a Big 12 guy or whatever you want. I just love seeing the scoreboard lit up. That just really entertains me. So I'm going to have a very close eye on this Oklahoma and Baylor game. Hey, did you have anything else that you wanted to add to it?
Do you have your prediction for this game?
Ooh. I think Oklahoma is going to win this game just because I think they're a bit more high-powered on the offense than what Baylor has shown. And Baylor's going to kind of try to slow the game down, I think, just because they know that they're not as high-powered on the offense and they can't really keep up with Oklahoma. But we know Baylor's defense isn't always the best in the world. So they're going to try to slow the game down, run the ball, and really keep Oklahoma's offense off the field. So I think Baylor's going to make it very tough on them, but I just think Jalen Hurts is going to be unleashed with Lincoln Riley in this offense, and they're going to just exploit Baylor's defense. I think it's going to be high scoring, though, so I'm going to go like 42-35. I think Oklahoma is going to win. Did you have a prediction for it?
I am here to tell you that this Baylor team is a bunch of frauds. If it wasn't for Texas Tech and its illegal snap action in overtime, Texas Tech, a team that lost to Kansas, would have beat them.
Lost
to TCU last week in overtime. This is a team that has squeaked by teams in the Big 12 all year. I'm putting this on record right now. Oklahoma wins this game by 20 plus points. This is going to be a blowout. And there's a reason why Baylor is ranked number 13, despite being 9-0 in the Big Ten Power Conference. The College Football Committee agrees with me. They are frauds, and they're going to lose this game by 20-plus.
Wow. Big-time prediction by you right there. And I think that's something that we probably need to do in future weeks as well. I think we need to go ahead and start predicting some of these games and giving actual scores for it and then keeping tally of it just to see who has the best win-loss record from it. So that's something that we will do going on next Friday. I'll make sure to write that down to make sure we start making score predictions and also keeping our record of some of the games that we did win.
Let's keep a record of our national champion picks. Minnesota Golden Gophers, baby. That's my national champion pick. I'll preach it to the rooftops.
I got to make a bold prediction. I guess I got to say Baylor is going to win the national championship just to match.
Okay, I'm putting you on that record. Let me tell you, a team that almost lost to Texas Tech. My home school.
The Texas Tech Red Raiders, baby. The home of TJ Vasher.
The home of Jonah Tolles. And let me tell you, I am just excited for basketball season. I am so sick of Texas Tech football. Bring on Chris Beard in the basketball season. Locked On College Basketball. Let's go.
With that being said, that is our show for today. Thank you guys for listening and participating with us for our weekly game previews. And also, I did not mention yesterday, but I want to thank everyone for sending in your questions for Twitter Thursdays. Yesterday, that's something that we are making a weekly thing. We're starting to get into a nice little routine of what we're doing. We have Prize Sticker Mondays. Of course, Tuesdays and Wednesdays are open to any topics. And then, of course, on Thursdays, we have our Twitter mailbag questions, known as Twitter Thursdays. And then Friday, we end the week with game preview. So, once again, thank you guys for listening to the Locked On College Football Podcast. I am Jordan Reed. He is Jonah Tolles. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast. Leave a 5-star review. Tell a friend to listen to the podcast. We will see you guys on Monday recapping the week of action.